Moed, everybody. Today's daf and beit, daf chaf aleph. We're in chaf, amud aleph. We're towards the bottom of the amud. And we thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zecher Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Okay. The topic of discussion has been since we started the new Mishnah. Mishnah itself is found on daf yotes amud aleph. Whether or not you can bring karbonos on Yontif. So just to add a little bit of context to the whole discussion, so the Mishnah says, Machlokeshim Beishamai and Beithilo, whether or not you can bring karbonos. Beishamai says you can bring a karbon, but only a karbon chagiga, you can't bring a olas re'iyah. Olas re'iyah is totally burnt, it's totally consumed, so it's, none of it's going to be consumed by the owner, and so therefore, the Torah says lachem, you have to benefit from the karbon, so you can't bring an ola. And Beisil says no, you can bring an ola, you can bring a chagiga, you can bring all types of. Going to modify the word ol in just a moment, but you can bring all types of karbonos according to Beisil. And the fact that the Torah says lachem, but the Torah also says the words lachem, the chagosim also chag lahashem, and Beisil says you can bring all types of karbonos. Okay, so I pointed out already yesterday, according to Beishamai, it is a little bit strange, meaning there's a mitzvah on Yontif to bring a karban olas re'iyah, and meanwhile, you bring it on Yontif, you just can't bring it on Yontif. In other words, you have to bring it the Chol HaMoed or on Shavuos, you'll bring it the day after Yontif or within the next 6 days after Yontif. There's Tashlum for Shavuos, but you don't bring it on Yontif itself. Okay, fine. But according to Beis Hillel, you bring all types of karbanos. Good, that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. And then the Gemara had a lengthy discussion, and we're still in the middle of the lengthy discussion. Does that include Nedarim and Nedavim? Meaning, according to Beis Hillel, we know that he has more latitude, that you're allowed to bring more karbanos. You're allowed to bring an olas riyah, you're allowed to bring a karban chagiga, shame chagiga, shame simcha. So those karbanos, for sure, according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to bring on Yontif. What about Neder Nedava? Neder Nedava, private karbanos I offered, but voluntarily. Meaning, I just simply took it upon myself to bring a karban, and here, lo and behold, Neder Nedava. Can I bring those on Yontif itself? So what's the difference? It's very simple. In other words, a chagiga and olas riyah are chayiv to be brought on Yontif. So maybe there, Beis Hillel has more latitude, but more latitude only specific to those karbanos that are obligated to be brought that day. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Neder Nedava could be brought any time. I could have brought it before Yontif, I could bring it after Yontif. So maybe those karbanos cannot be brought actually on Yontif itself. What are we going to see over the course of today? To make a long story short, we're going to see that subject to a machlokas. Meaning, within Shitas Beis Hillel, we know that he allows the bringing of Olas Riyah and Shame Chagiga. That we know. Is he also going to allow Neder Nedava as well? So we're going to speak about for a good part of today that is subject to a machlokas. Okay, yesterday we quoted a brisa. The brisa says that the olas chover requires smicha. And then the Gemara, we finished off yesterday. The Gemara had a discussion: is that brisa going like Beis Shammai? Is it also going like Beis Hillel? The conclusion of the Gemara was that brisa could also be going like Beis Hillel, and that's more or less where we got up to yesterday. And we are continuing. We're on Chaf Amud Aleph. And we are starting in the Gemara, Savri Beis Shammai. It's right in the middle of the Amud. The first words of the line is Asim Ibeine, and we are smack in the middle of the Amud on Chaf Amud Aleph. Savri Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is of the opinion. Shammai Chovel Abai Smicha. Are you really of the opinion that Shammai Simcha? I'm sorry. Shammai Chova don't require smicha. V'had time, but we learned in the following brisa. Am Rav Yosef Lo Nechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Al Hasmicha Asma Shet Sarech. We all agree that you need smicha, right? Remember yesterday we had the discussion. According to Beis Shammai, you're bringing your shlamim on Yontif, but you don't do smicha. That's what we said yesterday. So now the Gemara quotes a brisa, and this brisa is going to disagree. This brisa says that everyone says you do smicha. I'll take off the smicha shchita Beis Shammai omim inotzarech Beis Hillel omim tzarech. The issue says this brisa, everyone says you're going to do smicha, it's just a question of when you're going to do it. Beis Hillel says you have to do it immediately prior to the shchita. And Beis Shammai says, no, you could do it in advance. So according to Beis Shammai, you're going to offer your Shammai Chagiga on Yontif. That's the only carbon you can bring according to Beis Shammai. And what about Smicha? Don't do Smicha on Yontif itself. Do it the day prior. So you do Smicha the day prior, and then on Yontif, you shecht it. So the Gemara says, but what's clear from this Brice is that according to Beis Shammai, you're doing Smicha on your Shammai Chagiga. So who damar ki aitana de tain. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have another braisa. I'm Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, lo nechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, I'll take the smicha shchita, shit sarich. According to this braisa, everybody agrees that smicha has to be done immediately prior to shchita. Amal nechlu ko al smicha atzma, shabay shammai omim, and then the only issue is, Well, if you have to do smicha right before the shechita, so how do you shecht your shami chagiga on yantiv? So Beis Hillel says it's really easy. Just do smicha right before you do shechita. And Beis Shammai says, skip the smicha. Smicha is a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev. And on yantiv, you can't do smicha, so that you'll just skip it. So you have another braisa, and good. And this braisa is of the opinion that according to Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, you don't do smicha at all. Okay, so another variation in this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether or not Beis Shammai skips the smicha altogether, or allows smicha to be done prior to yantiv. Either way, according to Beis Shammai, you can't do smicha on yantiv itself. Why not? So the Gemara doesn't articulate, but the reason why, explains Rashi, is because by doing smicha, you're being mishtamish bebalei chayim. You are applying pressure to live animals. You're not allowed to ride animals on Yantav and on Shabbos. You can't be mishtamish bebalei chayim. And smicha would fall into that category according to Beis Shammai. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we're going to see a lot of this in Masechta Chagiga. Chagiga will be the last Masechta that we're going to be covering in Seder Moed. So when we finish up Seder Moed, we'll be finishing up with Masechta Chagiga. That is a Masechta dedicated to the topic of Shami Chagiga, Olas Re'ia, Shami Simcha, all the Kabbalists that are specific to Yantav. And we're going to see, I mean, we already caught wind of this over the course of this discussion, but we're going to see. It's one of the first major Machloksim that take place in Klal Yisrael. The Rambam writes in his introductions, just important general information to know. Rambam writes, Torah Shebaal Peh, generally speaking, was pretty cut and dry. Meaning that Torah Shebaal Peh was not this large body of machlokas, meaning when we learn the daf, every day we encounter another machlokas. But the Rambam says that, yeah, there were some machlokas, but generally speaking, it was pretty cut and dry. And at the scene, he pointed, Rambam points specifically to the period of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where there was really a proliferation of machlokas amongst Klal Yisrael. And I could speak more about it, but in other words, but really Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is really the point of historical note where there was just proliferation. And even at this point, meaning there wasn't that much machlokas, the machlokas increased. It exponentially grew after Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but here really marks the point. So here you're going to see, in the course of these next couple lines of Gemara, you're going to see like some major adversarial give and take between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on issues. What issues were they arguing about? So, as we'll see right now, the issue of offering a karban on Yantif.
Was he the Nasi at the time when this was happening?
I can only guess. I can only speculate. I would say yes, but I'm not, you know, that would just be...
Which Shammai was alive.
Right.
Was the Nasi?
Well, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos has one of them being the Nasi and the other one being the Av Beis Din. So, right, that's the Hillel and Shammai were the fifth of the five Zugos, right? There were five pairs. After Shimon HaTzadik, then it was redistributed that it would be a tandem, a duo, who would be in charge. One would be the Nasi, and the other would be the Av Beis Din, and that would be for five generations. Hillel and Shammai being the fifth of those five generations. Okay, anyway, so we get to see some of this here. We'll see a lot more of this in Chagiga Tanu Rabbanan. We're on the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. We're starting at the two dots. Ma'aseh b'lo zakin shehevi olah asa la'azara. So Hillel now is bringing his carbon ola to the courtyard, to the temple courtyard. It's Yantiv. And it's presumably an olah sriya. And as we now know, we learned the Mishnah, this is controversial. Beis Shammai would not allow the bringing of a olas riyah, because he only allows the shami chagiga. Now, mind you, this is Hillel himself, meaning we got to make that distinction pretty clear. Meaning, there's Hillel and Shammai, and then there's Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So this is Hillel hazakin. So he comes in with an ola into the azara, and lisma chalav b'yantav. And not only is he bringing a carbon ola, but he's going to do smicha. So already like double controversy, a carbon ola, and he wants to do smicha. So b'yamtov chibro alav tamid shamay hazakein. So the students of Shammai hazakein all gathered around Hillel. Amru lo mativa shal behem azu. So they said, "What's going on here? What are you doing?" So amru lehem nekeva hi. So he lies. He says it's a female. Now, how do I know he's lying? Well, that's pretty easy, because he's offering an ola. An ola can be brought from a male animal. So the fact that he's saying it's a female, so he's lying. And he's lying because he doesn't want to get embroiled in controversy. So it's a big discussion. It's a popular discussion. Under what circumstances you're allowed to lie? So let's say, because we'd like to say that Hillel is doing the right thing over here, that you're allowed to lie in order to avoid controversy. So he lied. So Amalem Nikevahi Ulezivche Shlamim Heviasa. So, and I'm bringing it as a zivche shlamim, meaning I'm bringing it as a shlamim, not as an ola. Okay, so he's lying. So, kishke shlahem biznava. So now, he's like grabbing the tail to prove to them that this is a male animal. In other words, right now, the tail is down, so the genitalia is covered. So what he's ready to do now is show them that it's a male animal. Now, he's showing them it's a female animal. Now, when he lifts the tail up, so he's going to be exposed for lying. Okay, and apparently he was ready to take that risk. In other words, he was really putting on a good show in terms of his confidence that this, in fact, is a female animal. V'halchu lahem, they were convinced. Okay, fine, it was a female animal. V'osa yom gavri yadam shal beishamai beisilo. And it was on that very day that Beishamai defeated Beisilo. Right, we get glimpses of this throughout Shas. Where generally speaking, of course, Allah is like Beisilo. Beisilo, right, where we said, the Gemara says a number of times, Beishamai b'makom, Beisilo eino mishnah. But here's like one of those times where we get glimpses of Beishamai 1. The beginning of Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, we have echoes of that as well. But
did he really
win?
Because Hillel knew
he was going. Yeah, okay, so the story's still going. So let's... But anyway, the Gemara says Osayom, meaning just that day. So Gavra Yadam Shal Beishamai Beisilo Ubikshu Likboa Halacha Kemosa. So okay, so the expression is you won the battle but not the war. So okay, so Beishamai for that one day, so they were victorious. Meaning Ahilah Hazakein was had a lie in order to pacify the students of Shammai. But in the meantime, however, the halacha is still following like Hillel. So now that Beis Shammai had a victory for the day, so they want to establish a halacha like Beis Shammai. And there was a student of Shammai, and his name was Baba Ben Buta. Now he knew that the halacha falls like Beis Hillel, despite the fact that he was a student of Shammai. But for purposes of intellectual honesty, he knew the shalach vehevi top of chafam and beis called son kedar shibrishlam ve'emidam be'azara. And so what he did is he brought out son kedar. Son kedar, Rashi says, is a term that describes the best of the sheep, and he brought them into the azara ve'amar kol misha rotz lismoch yavo v'yismoch. And he basically gave a public invitation for everyone to do smicha. Again, Shammai would never have allowed it. But he knew, Bava Ben Buta knew, that the halacha does not fall like Shammai, but rather the halacha falls like Beisil. Like, I keep making that mistake. The halacha falls like Hillel. So Yavav Yismach, Vahosu Ayam, Gavri Yadon Shal Beisil, Vekav Halacha Hamosan. So on that day, now the halacha was established like Hillel. V'lo Yasham Adam She'ira B'davar Klom, and no one protested on that very day. Okay? I'm going to make an admission over here. I don't fully understand the system and the process, meaning what happens over here. It's not a democracy. It doesn't exactly work in that formula. So what exactly happens over here where Hillel has to, has to lie, and then on the next occasion they bring all the sheep and an open invitation, and now I don't fully understand the process in terms of how the halacha gets established, but it's clear from this discussion, A, that you have a major debate between Hillel and Shammai on this issue. It was obviously open to tremendous controversy. Hillel himself at one point had a lie. So obviously we get bits of information, but in terms of just how to formulate it, I'm not particularly sure in terms of how to formulate the process.
But the issue is that this is a system that was in existence for 100 years before Hillel and Shammai.
Right.
This is not difficult,
right.
The idea of,
right. So you missed it. I mentioned that the Rambam points to this particular generational period in terms of the proliferation of machlokas. Meaning prior to this point in time, there was no... I'm just saying it over like the Rambam. Prior to this point in time, there was no machlokas. And this is where machlokas began. It's at this particular point, says the Rambam. Am Rabbi Hilka Chaitzur Bamei Rabbanan. Sorry, I skipped. Let me go back. Two dots. Chaf Amid Beis. Shev Maisa B'tamid Echa M'tamid Beisol Shehevi Olas Ola Zara. Lismoch. So there was a student of Beis Hillel who brought a carbon ola into the Azara, and he's going to do smicha. Matzu tamid echa metamid Beis Shammai. Amar lo mazu smicha. So a student of Beis Shammai says to the student of Beis Hillel, "What are you doing? meaning you're about to do smicha, aren't you? So amalo mazu shtika. So the student of Beis Hillel says back to the student of Beis Shammai, wouldn't it be nice if you were quiet? In other words, why don't you stay out of this? Shatku b'nezifa v'halachlo. So he was reprimanded. Nezifa is like almost like a mild form of excommunication, meaning, okay, stay out of it, and he got the hint, he got the message. Amar Rabbi Hilka, Chaitzor b'Rabbi Rabban, and da'amar le'chavrei milsa lo lahadolei milsa tfei mimai da'amar le'chavrei. The Gemara says, just as an aside, what we can learn from over here is that if you are ever involved in any type of debate, and you're at Surba Miriabon and you're Tamar Chacham, so don't say more than what you need to say. And by that, the Gemara means that if you were, look at the give and take over here between the student of Shammai and the student of Hillel. The student of Shammai said, Mazu Smicha, meaning what are you doing? And the response was Mazu Shtika. And the Gemara says, what we can learn from here is, you don't need to say any more than what was said to you. And the Gemara says, it's a Tamar Chacham, that's it. Your debate should be terse, it should be right to the point, and you should say no more than what was said to you. Tanya, the Gemara quotes another Brysa, and here we go, more Brysos. Right, these are Toseftas. Right? What we saw previously also was a Tosefta from Chagiga. These are more Brysos that speak more to this Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the issue of Smicha on Yantav. And not just Smicha on Yantav, but also just simply bringing the carbon Ola on Yantav. So Tanya will learn to bright when one Brysa Amalem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Mam B'Makom Sha'asur LeHejot Mutala Gavoa. Look, let's talk about Shabbos. Shabbos, you're allowed to cook? No. And meanwhile, you're allowed to bring carbonos. Right, so that's our starting point. Malkum shemutal lehedjot, einu din shemutal lagavoa. So now let's move it over to Yantiv. Yantiv, so we're allowed to cook in our own home. So on a day that we're allowed to cook, and we're allowed to shecht, and we're allowed to make fire. So on that day, wouldn't it stand to argue that you could bring carbon as well to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, in other words, kavachamer. Right, if on Shabbos I could bring carbonos, so on Yantav, Alach has kama v'kama. When I can take care of myself, for sure I can bring more kabanos. Amalem Beis Shammai Nedar Nedav Zil Chichu Shemot Alehejo V'Asal Gavoa. So Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel Nedar Nedava, meaning if you're a big believer in your kavachomer, so I was just simply counter and say to you, yeah, but what about voluntary offerings, which are Mutal Alehejo, and you can't bring it on Yantav. Right, correct. Meaning in this Brysa is clear that Nedar Nedava, even according to Beis Hillel, cannot be brought. Amalem Beis Hillel, Amalem Nedar Nedava, Shein Kavulam Zman. Tomar Be'olas Riyah, Shein Kavulam Zman. So Beis Hillel's response to Beis Shammai is, okay, you're right, but you're only limited right. Meaning Nedar Nedava, there's no kvius, there's no obligation to bring it on Yantiv. You'll bring it before, you'll bring it after. I'm not talking about Nedar Nedava, I'm talking about Olas Riyah, Shamei Chagiga, I'm talking about the karbanos that are obligated to be brought on Yantiv. Those can be brought on Yantiv, right? And again, we'll go back to the Kal V'Chomer. If karban can be brought on Shabbos and I can't take care of myself, for sure karban can be brought on Yantiv where I can take care of myself. Amalem Beis Shammai Avzu Ein Kavu Olam Zman. Dinan Beis Shammai says, no, I'm going to disagree there. You don't have to bring your Shamei Chagiga and your Olas Riyah on Yantiv itself. He says, let's quote the Mishnah. Mishnah and Chagiga. Dinan Mishlo Chag B'Yom Tov Rishon Shochag Chogeg V'Holech Kol HaRegel Kulo V'Yom Tov HaAchron Shochag. You have makeup days. You could, if you don't bring it on day one of Yantiv, you'll bring it up during the entirety of Chol Hamoed. On Shemini Atzeres, I'm sorry, on Sukkot, you can even make it up on Shemini Atzeres. Now, Shemini Atzeres may be, right, we saw this back at the end of Sukkah, maybe an independent Yantiv. But on Shemini Atzeres, you could still make up the Chagiga and the Olas Riyah that you did not bring on the first days of Sukkot. So what do you mean it's Kavu Azman? Amalem Beis Hillel Avzu Kavu Azman. So Beis Hillel's response is very simple. No, you're wrong. It's still Kaveh Zman. Didnan Avar Rega Velo Chag Oso Achayev. I'm sorry, Velo Chag Eino Chayev Bachriyuso. You're simply wrong. Because you're right, I don't have to bring it on day one. But if I fail to bring this carbon over the duration of Yantiv, that's it. All right, Avar Zmano Bata Carbono, meaning it's lost. So it is Kavu Zman. You're right, I don't have to bring it specifically on day one, but I got to bring it on Yantiv. That's called Kavu Zman. Amalem Beis Shammai v'lo kvar nema lachem v'lo lagavoa. So Beis Shammai takes a different path. So Beis Shammai says, I don't understand. How can you bring a carbon, specifically a carbon olas re'iyah? You're not getting any benefit from it. The Torah, when outlining what you're allowed to do on Yontif, the Torah says, "Hu levado ye'aseh lachem." You have to get benefit from it. You're not getting a benefit from it from an ola. Amalim beisol v'alok v'nemar la Hashem. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but beisol's response, and we saw this response already on the Amud Aleph. The pasuk says la Hashem. I'm sorry, you test Amud Aleph by going all the way back to the beginning of the whole discussion. V'chagosem oso chag la Hashem. The Torah says the words la Hashem, which means that you can even bring a carbon ola, an ola sriya. Called Lashem, imke matam alam lachem. So, and as far as your point, the Torah does say the word lachem, lachem v'lo l'kutzim, lachem v'lo l'klavim. You can cook on Yontif, but only for you, meaning the Jewish people. You can't cook for non-Jews on Yontif. And the l'klavim, you can't cook for dogs on Yontif. That's what the lachem is coming to teach us. Yes, it's exclusionary term, but exclusionary to goyim, exclusionary to dogs. It's not exclusionary to a carbonola. Carbonola can be brought on Yontif. Okay, so again, another braisa, another tosefta from Chagiga, more debate on this issue of whether or not you can bring an ola on Yontif. What was clear from that braisa, right, as Dr. Michelle pointed out, is that even in that braisa, neder unedava cannot be brought on Yontif, even according to Beis Hillel. Again, that's going to be a recurring theme again and again over the course of today. Abishal Amar Balashan Acheres. Abishal says in a slightly different language, Uma b'makum shikiras chasisuma. Now, the way Abishal is going to present it now, it's going to be a same basic issue, slightly different format, and that slight difference is going to create a distinction. We'll talk about the distinction afterwards. Your kira is closed on Shabbos. The kira is the oven, right? The Gemara has three different terminologies for an oven. So, but the kira is the most common one. That's the third parak of Shabbos opens up with the word kira. So, masha kira is chastuma. Your oven is closed on Shabbos. And meanwhile, kira is rabcha p'chusa. So, pesucha. And meanwhile, the oven of your master is open, meaning Beis HaMikdash is in operation. And you're shechting karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So, b'makom shekirascha pesucha, eino din shekiras rabcha pesucha. So on a day when your ovens are open, so achas kama v'kama, the ovens of your master also should be open as well. Okay, same basic point. That if you can offer karbanos on Shabbos, when you yourself can't do anything, so in the on Yontif where you can cook for yourself, alachas kama v'kama, you can offer karbanos to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein b'din shloisha shulchancha malei v'shulchan rabban rabcha reikan. And also, just think about it. It's preposterous to think that your table is going to be laden with food, and meanwhile the table of your master, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's table, is going to be empty. Okay, that's the Abishal's version of the debate. It sounds very similar, but there is a fine difference between the way it was just presented versus the way it was previously presented. And the Gemara spells it out. But my commitment to my suffer and the dove is craven beyomtov, and my suffer ain't craven beyomtov. In the first version, Beis Hillel does allow you to bring carbon, and olasriya, and shame chagiga. But Beis Hillel in the first version, the Tanakhama's version, does not allow you to bring neder nedava. In the second version, in Abishal's version, basically, oven is open, meaning the Beis HaMikdash is open. You could bring whatever carbon you want on Yontif, meaning not only Shalmei Chagiga, not only Olas Riyah, but even neder nedava as well. Okay. Yeah, correct. In other words, so now, basically, as I mentioned, it's just one of those recurring themes in today's daf. Are you allowed to bring neder nedava on Yontif again? The halacha is like Beis Hillel. So you're allowed to bring Shalmei Chagiga, which everyone agrees to. You're allowed to bring Olas Riyah, that's Shitas Beis Hillel. And the only thing left on the table for discussion is, are you allowed to bring neder nedava? So we have various versions within Shitas Beis Hillel. Amar Rav Huna L'divrei Omer, neder nedava ain't kriven b'yontif. Let's take the position that neder nedava cannot be offered on Yontif. Okay, according to that mandamer, meaning Rav Huna is not paskening, he's just simply saying that if you take that position, it really has nothing to do with gzera de rabbanon. That maybe if I don't bring it on Yontif, that really it's okay. But the problem is that if I wait, if I'm allowed to bring it on Yontif, I'm going to delay, I'm going to procrastinate, and that's not it. Afilu midaraisa nami lo chaza. It is simply usher to do so. You cannot bring neder nedava. And how do I know that that's so? Because let's take a look at the shtei alechem, the two loaves of bread that are brought on Shavuos. Now there's no concern of procrastination, because there we know you bring the shtei alechem on Shavuos. That's the mitzvah to do so. And meanwhile, when do you bake the shtei alechem? So we already saw back in the Mishnah, you bake the shtei alechem prior to Shavuos. You don't bake the shtei alechem on Shavuos. Let's say they forgot, meaning they didn't bake the shtei alechem before Shavuos. So now it's Shavuos day, and now you got to bring a carbon. The problem is we didn't bake, and the baking should have occurred prior to that. You have no right, you have no permission to bake on Shavuos itself. Now, what you would say is, what do you mean? It's a mitzvah bayom. We should be able to bake. And the response is no. You can't bake the shtei alechem on Shavuos itself. Meaning that any outside activity that's not allowed on Yontiv is simply not allowed. Not on a Durabana level, but Minotaur is not allowed. So if you're taking the position that Neder Nadava cannot be brought on Yontiv, it's not that you're taking it's really okay, but just a Din Durabana. No. It is prohibited to do so. It's an outside activity outside the parameter of those Kabbarnas that are allowed. Ibai Lahu. Okay, and then the Gemara gets into its usual specific questioning. Good. So let's say that you can't bring neder nedava on Yontif. Again, we have two different versions, but let's just stay with that position that you can't do so. And what if you shech the animal? So you have a neder that you offered, that you brought to the Beis Hamikdash. You cannot bring it on Yontif, but you shechted it. Now what do you do going forward? Rav Amar Zerikas Adam Amnas Lahatir Basa Ba'achila. So Rav says, fine. So you'll do Zerikas Adam, you'll sprinkle the blood, and with the intent of that as long as you're allowed to eat the meat. Meaning, again, what the pressing issue of Neder Nedava is that it doesn't have Kviyas Man, it's not obligated to be brought on Yantav itself. So Lichachila, you cannot bring a Neder Nedava on Yantav. But once you brought the carbon, and once you shechted the carbon, so now obviously it's a carbon, it was shechted, so what do you do? So just have the following in mind. I'm going to sprinkle the blood so I can eat the meat. In other words, lachem, that as long as I have some benefit from this animal, so bidyavid, lichatchila shouldn't have been done, but bidyavid, it works and the zrika will be fine. Rava baravuna, amar zarek is adam, amnas lahakir imurim la'erev. Rava baravuna says that you'll do zrika sadam again. You shouldn't have shechted it today, but once you shecht it, you'll sprinkle the blood. And amenas, with the condition that you're going to burn the imorim this evening. So, and that means that, Rashi points out, afil ein kan elo tzarech hechsher karban, lahechsher karban shein yochel lizrok balayla, ve'ekteras an imorim ksher kol alayi v'yamtim ashetech shech v'yaktirena. Meaning, even though you're not personally benefiting from the carbon itself, but as long as something is done with the carbon, we know that after the carbon is shechted, you sprinkle the blood, the meat should be burnt that day, but you have the entire night afterwards to burn the meat of the animal. So Rabbi Ravuna says that would be sufficient, that would be enough. So my benayu, you can be now, nitma basar oshavat. Now the Gemara notes that there's going to be a basic difference between these two explanations, or these two solutions. Meaning Larava, meaning what would be a scenario in which I shechted a neder nedava on Yontif? Again, I shouldn't have, but I did so. And now, just to make this a practical difference, what would be in a scenario where the meat was either lost or becomes tame? Meaning I simply have no meat to eat. So Larava lozar. So now according to Rava, you lost your entire license to do Zrika. Zrika can only be done only if there's meat to eat. If there's no meat to eat, so you can't do Zrika. And the Rav Baravuna Zarek, and according to Rav Baravuna, you don't have to eat meat. As long as you promise, as you make a commitment to burn the Imurim that evening, so then you could do a Zrika. Okay. Meis Vedek Amark challenges based on a Braisa. Kivsei Atzeres Sheshachton Shal Lishman. If I have the Kvasim, the two lambs that are brought on Shavuos, so I shechted them shelo lishman or sheshachtem bein lifnei zman bein zmanan bein laacher zmanan. Okay, so I made a number of very basic mistakes. Either number one, shechted it without the proper intent. We learned in the first Mishnah in Zvachim, page 1 of Zvachim, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that all karbanos need to be shechted lishman, need to be shechted for its sake, meaning I have to know what I'm shechting, I have to have in mind the karban that I'm shechting. If I don't have the right karban in mind, so generally speaking, the karban's still okay, it's just I haven't fulfilled my obligation with this karban. So that means to say, I'm going to have to bring another karban, this karban can still be offered, but I'm going to have to bring another karban to fulfill my obligation. The only two exceptions to that are, you remember the first Mishnah in Zvachim, a karban chatas, and the karban Pesach. Okay, maybe karban Hashem as well, that's debatable. But anyway, so kifsei atzeres, so these are the two lambs that are offered on Shavuos. So either I shechted shel l'shman, or shechted b'lefnei zmanam b'en l'acher zmanam, or I shechted them on the wrong day. Okay, so hadam yizareik, so what do? Sprinkle the blood, the habasar yochal, and you eat the meat. In other words, they're shlamim. The imaisa Shabbos lo yizrok. Now, if it was Shabbos, so then you can't do the zrika. Why? Because on Shabbos, I'm never going to get to the point of eating. Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook. So don't sprinkle the blood. The im zarak, meaning the Kohen didn't ask any questions. He shechted the kifsei atzeres. It was Shabbos. It was either not Shavuos, it was after Shavuos, it was Shechtel, whatever the case was. And it was Shabbos. And he didn't ask questions, because if he would have asked, the response would have been, don't shecht. It's not right. But if he already shechted, and he already sprinkled the blood, the im zarak, hurtza amanas lakti imun la'erev. As long as he commits to burning the imurim that evening, so then the zrika will be an effective zrika. Yeah, in other words, these are... He shouldn't have done it. Meaning, it's a gross error. But he did it.
On the Cohen's part.
Correct. So the im zarek the evidence lechatzchil alal. So the Gemara says, if he did the zrika, which means that even the zrika itself is a bidyavid. So the Gemara says, Bishlam ala Rava Nicha. So according to Rava, got it. Meaning, according to Rava, you're only allowed to do the zrika only if there's meat to eat. Here, there was no meat to eat. Again, you shecht it on Shabbos. There's no way, there's no time preparation to prepare it on Shabbos. You can't cook. You're left with raw meat. So therefore, according to Rabbi, I totally understand the Braisa. The Braisa says, don't shecht. And even if you shecht, don't do the zrika. I get it. But according to... But Ella, Rabbi Barahuna Kasha. So the Gemara says, but according to Rabbi Barahuna, remember, the only thing he needs you to do is just simply make a commitment that you're going to do, that you're going to burn the Imurim that evening. And once you have that, so then you can do the Zrika. So the Gemara says, Kasha. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's difficult. Meaning, why do the Braisa not allow you to do Zrika according to Rabbi Barahuna? So the Gemara says, yeah, that is difficult.
You would have been able to eat this Basar on Shabbos, that's the Kasha.
Yeah, in other words, you can't eat the Basar on Shabbos because you can't cook on Shabbos. So now what are you left to do? So Rabbi will tell you, exactly, nothing. And Rabbi Beravuna would say, okay, but I could still burn the Imurim tonight. So the Gemara says, here, you're right. And why doesn't the Braisa suggest that? Good point. Okay, right, separate issues, but yes. Or the Gemara points out, maybe in defense of Rabbi Beravuna, maybe you could say, look, the Chachamim were more strict on Shabbos than they were on Yontav. So in other words, in Achinami, generally speaking, I could sprinkle the blood as long as I make a commitment to burn the Imurim that evening. But here we're not talking about Yontav, here we're talking about Shabbos. It could be that we're just simply more stringent on Shabbos than we are on Yontav. Even though, oddly enough, in the beginning of the Masechta, right, you remember day one of the Masechta, we went the other direction. We said that vis-a-vis Muksa, we tend to be more machmir Muksa regarding on Yontiv than on Shabbos. Okay, so that obviously requires better explanation. Okay, by mine Rav Avya Saba Miravuna. The Gemara now is going to continue the discussion of shechting animals on Yontiv. So again, our discussion has been for the last 2 days a discussion of shechting a karban chagiga on Yontif. So we've been saying essentially, you're allowed to. Right? On Yontif. Especially if it's Kavu Azman, meaning for sure Yosha Mechagiga, Neder Nedava, controversial, fine. Let's move the discussion, the Gemara is going to move the discussion to a similar topic. And you'll see the similarity in just a moment. Let's say I have an animal, but the animal is owned in partnership. I own part of the animal, let's say 50%, and I own in partnership with a non-Jew, and he owns 50% of the animal. Okay, and now it's Yontif, and I'd like to shech the animal. Now in general, obviously, if I want to shech the animal, I have to get permission from the other shareholder of the animal in order to shech. But I go over to him, I ask him for permission, yeah, okay, good. Yeah, permission to shecht, good. And my question now is a very simple one. Well, now that I have permission to shecht, can I shecht this animal on Yontif? So, v'chetzer she'yisrael amal l'shchit amal shecht on Yontif. Can I shecht on Yontif? So, amal mutter. So the answer was very quick and decisive. Sure, no problem at all. What would in fact be the issue? Well, the Gemara he says, well, listen to the follow-up question. Amal v'chima ben zel nedar nedavos. Well, I understand what's the difference between this versus nedar nedava. Neder Nedava, you cannot offer on Yontif. Okay, well, why not? Let's think about Neder Nedava. Neder Nedava means a carbon which, again, not obligated to be brought on Yontif, but still, what happens with a Neder Nedava? It's a carbon shlamim. Portions of it go to the Mizbeach. Portions of it are going to be eaten by me. So in other words, basically, every Neder Nedava is basically a partnership. And so now, we have been saying for the last couple of days, with controversy, but again, let's just assume you can't offer Neder Nedava on Yontif. So now the question is very simple. Well, what's the difference? Meaning in one partnership, you had no problem saying, I have an animal part owned by me, part owned by a non-Jew. Now the non-Jew, as we just learned, you can't shecht an animal for a non-Jew on Yontif, but again, this one animal, part owned by me, part owned by him, no problem at all. And now I have a Neder Nedava. Part of it's owned by me, a part of it's owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we know you can't shecht it. So what's the difference? Amalei Orva Parach. So, Rav Huna, who was fielding this question, didn't want to give an answer immediately. So he changes the topic and he says, look at that raven flying in the air. Okay, so, obviously there must be depth behind why he specifically points to a raven, but in other words, he changes the topic. So kinafik amrle rabba bray. So the questioner leaves, and Rav Huna is there left with his son in the house. And Rav says to his father, Lav hainu Rav Avya Saba de Mishtak ish de Mishtabech le mar begave de gave rabbahu. So Rav says to his father, I understand. The questioner, right? The questioner was Rav Avya Saba. So you speak very highly of him. You say he's a gave rabba. And meanwhile, he asked a question, and you didn't give him an answer. And you kind of, you almost like basically you turned him away. You know, what? I understand. What just happened? So Amalei Ma Avidlei Ani Ayom Samchuni Bashishus Rivduni B'Tapuchim. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Huna says, look, right now I got to tell you I'm worn out. Quotes the pasuk from Shir Hashirim. Right, we just heard it yesterday. So he quotes the pasuk from the second parak of Shir Hashirim, and basically I am totally worn out. Rashi says, why was he so worn out? Yomtavu v'darash l'rabim v'chalisi mitorach hadrasha. So it's Yontif, and on Yontif in the good old days, so you went to shul, and after shul, what happened? Drasha. Remember, just a couple days ago, we saw Rabbi Eliezer gave a long drasha after davening in the morning. But anyway, but Rabbi Eliezer was just simply they all darshaned. So Rav Huna was darshaning, and he darshaned the entire morning, and he was exhausted. And basically, he needed to finally sit down and eat something. So he just explained to his son, "Look, I'm just worn out. So, but after I eat, I'm sure I'm going to gather myself." And he didn't ask me just a simple question. He asked me a question that required explanation and thought. And basically, he says, "I'm done. just until I eat. The time am I." So now the Gemara says, "Okay, but now good. We got the story down. But now we could reflect. Why is it?" What's the difference? So the Gemara explains. So the Gemara gives a very simple explanation. Look, I want to eat meat on Yontif, okay? And 50% of this animal belongs to me. Now, okay, fine. I'm not eating his shares. I'm just going to eat my share. And even if I just eat, even if I only want one kezias, the only way to access a kezias of meat is by doing shechita. Meaning that one act of shechita is necessary, even though I'm shechting the entire animal, even just to allow myself to eat just but one kezias. So in other words, of course I can do it, because I'm accessing my kezias of meat. But when it comes to neder nedava, the partnership analogy is a terrible analogy. It's not the correct analogy. It's not a partnership when it comes to karban neder nedava. The whole thing belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And all you have are just simply rights to eat. You can shech the karban neder nedava. You'll offer it on the mizbeach. The imorim will go on the mizbeach, and you're going to eat portions of it. But that's not your portions that you're eating. Right, it's not a partnership. It's shochan kavoa kazachu. You're sitting and eating off of Kadosh Baruch Hu's table. So that all you have is just simply the rights to eat it. That's a basic distinction between the two cases. And the Gemara says, and that's it. In other words, that's the difference. Amar Rav Chista, we are continuing in the Gemara. We're halfway down the Amud. Okay. So Rav Chista brings down as a psak what we just got done saying, that if I have an animal 50% owned by Jew, 50% owned by non-Jew, you can shecht it because I'm allowed to shecht to get to my kezias. Isa, if I have dough, chesed shonachir chesed sheyisrael. In this particular dough, again, owned in partnership, Jew and non-Jew, aser la'afosa b'yom tov. So there, I can't bake the entire dough on yom tov. Da'ef shalayla mefaga b'lisha. Because while kneading the dough, you could just simply divide it. So then you could take your portion and divide it off the portion of the non-Jew. And so therefore, you have no right to bake the entire dough, because then you will be baking a portion that doesn't belong to you, belongs to a non-Jew. You have no heter towards ochel nefesh of a non-Jew. And because you could break it up prior to the baking, you need to break it up prior to the baking. Mesiv Rav Chana Bar Chani Lai Isas Klavim Bezman Sharon Ochlim Mimenu Chayavas Bechala. If I have dough that belongs to a dog, what does that mean? Dough that belongs to a dog, meaning right now it's currently earmarked for dog consumption. So, as long as the shepherds are having a little bit of it, so now basically it's considered dough, with all the halachas of dough. It's chayav and chal. You have to separate chal and ma'arv and ba, and you could use it towards your eruv and mishat and ba, and you could use it for sheet of mavui. Umevarchen Allah, and you make and you make a bracha. Umezamen Allah, and you bench afterwards. Venefes by yontav, and it can be baked on yontav. That's the key line. Va'adam yotze by yidei chavasa bePesach, and if you want to make matz out of it, you can fulfill your obligation on Pesach. Ve'amai ha'efshar leila mafaga b'lisha. So the Gemara says basically, halachically similar. The Gemara is not making social commentary. The Gemara is making halachic commentary. It's the same thing. Meaning you have a dough which is part owned by dog, part owned by Jew, and the Brisa says you can bake the whole thing in the oven. And meanwhile, dough part owned by Jew and part owned by non-Jew, again, halachically, same basic point. Because you have no right to cook for a dog on Yom Tov, you have no right to cook for a non-Jew on Yom Tov. So, would you give me a moment? Let's just finish the thread, and then we'll discuss. So, va'av shalei mafaga b'lisha, and meanwhile, you're not expected to divide it into two halves and take the dog's portion and basically push it aside and not bake it. Shani says, klavim hol ve'eshol lefaisam benevela. So the Gemara says, yeah, but look, the portion that's earmarked for the dog, yeah, it's earmarked for the dog, but it doesn't have to go to the dog. Meaning, what you could do is you could substitute. You could basically say to the dog, I mean, you don't have to talk to the dog, but in other words, you could say, look, you're hungry, you want to eat, I know we were planning on giving you half of the dough, but I'll tell you what, here's a nevela, enjoy, right, carcass of an animal, right, go eat that. In other words, it's earmarked for the dog, but it's not owned by the dog. So the basic distinction, says the Gemara, between the dog partnership and the non-Jew partnership. Okay. Now, Umi Yisrael Rav Chista Hoel. Now, this is all predicated on a halachic principle known as Hoel. It's a principle that we've been discussing a lot lately because we've been started the second parak with the topic of Erev Tavshilin. The principle of Hoel is we could look at a potential scenario, meaning, well, we don't have to remember because the Gemara is about to tell us. V'ha'it mar'ofim miyamtav l'chol. I cook on Yontif for the day after. So in other words, tomorrow's Yontif. Tonight's Yontif. Right? So I cook tomorrow for Wednesday. So, Rav Chista Amaloka. Rav Chista says you're subject to Malkus. You have no, your only right you have to cook on Yontif is for Yontif. Once you cook on Yontif for non-Yontif, so that's called a Malacha. You're subject to Malkus. Right? Shabbos is a capital crime. Yontif is Malkus. Right? It's not a... Yontif is not Issa Karis. So you're going to get Malkus. Rabba Amrein Aloka. Rabba says, no, you're not going to get Malkus. Now, why not? Well, first of all, why yes? Rav Chista Amar Loka Lo Amrein Hawa. Umiklai Le Orchim. Chazir Le Hashta. I'm sorry, Chazir Le Hashta Nami Chazir Le. So the Gemara first explains Rav Chista. Rav Chista doesn't subscribe to Hawa. Meaning, I'm cooking on Yontif for after Yontif. Yes, it's theoretically possible that I'll have guests coming in and I'll be feeding them this food, but I don't subscribe to the Hawa principle. And because of that, I cooked from Yontif to non-Yontif. That's a malacha. And you're subject to Malkus. And Rabba Amar Ein Aloka Amar Ein Hawa. And Rabba does subscribe to the Hawa principle. So, and therefore, Rabba says, look, even though my intent was to cook from Yontif to non-Yontif, from Monday to Wednesday, but still, there's that possibility, there's the potential of guests coming in, and that will save me from a chi of Malkus. Okay. And the question on the table is, back to the dough owned by you and the dog. The dough owned by you and the dog, so what did the Gemara say? Well, the reason why you could bake it on Yontif is because even though you earmarked half of that dough for the dog, but you theoretically, you potentially can give the dog nevela. That's a Hoel principle. Rav Chista doesn't hold of the Hoel principle. So, Ela lo te mahol ve'esher, Ela kegon di isle nevela devada esher lefaisem a nevela. So the Gemara's response is, we don't have to rely on the Hoel principle. You actually have the nevela. So it's more than just, you could give the dog nevela, you actually have the nevela there, you will give the dog nevela. Okay, Ben, go ahead. Okay, good. Abamine me Rav Huna, hani b'nei bagade, ramo alai kimcha de b'nei chela, ma'al afos b'yamtav. Now the Gemara is going to touch on halachas regarding cooking for non-Jews on Yontif. So again, halacha is very clear. You can't cook for a non-Jew on Yontif. There's a heter to cook, there's a license to cook on Yontif, and to do malachas for ochel nefesh on Yontif, but only for a Jew. The Torah says, lachem, lachem v'lo lekusi, lachem v'lo leklavim. So now the Gemara is going to deal with some very practical, not for us, thankfully, but very practical issues regarding cooking on Yontif. So they asked the following question from Rav Huna. Hani b'nei bagad ramo alai kimcha de b'nei chela. In the good old days, and I don't know how good they were, but when you had the soldiers, the non-Jewish soldiers coming in, so you had to quarter them, and you had to house them, and you had to feed them. So, ma la'afos de b'yamtav. And now the question is very simple. Can I bake for them on Yontif? Okay, simple question. So that I'm housing the non-Jewish soldiers, and obviously I'm obligated to feed them. It's part of the government regulation. And now, can I cook for them on Yontif? So Amar Luhu, so this question was asked to Rav Huna. His response was, Chazina Yavale Rifta Liyinuka Velo Kapti. Kol Chaz V'chad Chaz Liyinuka V'sharei. V'ilav Aser. So, Rav Huna basically comes up with a smart solution. He says, look, every time you bake something, now even though, yes, you're supposed to bake for the soldiers, the non-Jewish soldiers, but pick up one of the breads that you baked and hand it to one of your children. If they're not makbid, so then good. So then it means that theoretically, at least potentially, every piece that you bake could be consumed by a Jew, and so therefore it would be okay. However, if they're makbid, with every piece that you specifically bake for them, you can't reassign it to one of your family members, so then basically you now know for sure you're baking for them, no good. So v'atanya ma'isa b'shemun hatemani shalaba emes lebeis ha-medrash b'shachris. I'm sorry, lo ba emes lebeis ha-medrash. The Gemara tells a story with Shimon hatemani who didn't go to the Beis Medrash yesterday. B'shachris matzah Rav Yehuda ben Bava. And the next morning, Rav Yehuda ben Bava found him. Amar lo mimnei malo bata emes lebeis ha-medrash. Rav Yehuda ben Bava was taking attendance. You weren't at the Beis Medrash yesterday. What happened? Amar lo balashas bali reinu b'kshel achtof es kol ha'ir. V'shachatnu lehem ego v'achalim pachunu l'shalom. So his answer was, well, yesterday soldiers came into our city, and they were not Jewish, and basically they wanted to plunder the city. What did I do? I saved the city's property. How did I do that? I shechted for them. It was Yontif. Amar lo tama ani im lo yetzeis charchem behefzedchem. In other words, good, you saved the city's wealth, but I wonder, you also lost at the same time. What did you lose? You may be halachically in the wrong. Shamre asharei amra Torah lachem v'lo lo avdei kochavim. So the Gemara says, the Torah says, lachem v'lo lo avdei kochavim. You have no right to do malacha for a non-Jew on Yontif. So granted that you were doing something which was heroic, but at the same time, you may not have had a halachic license to do that. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, didn't we just conclude through the story of Rav Huna that if potentially can be eaten by a Jew, so that's not a violation of Lachem V'lo L'Nachrim? I'm Rav Yosef Egel Trefa Vai. So the Gemara says, well, it was a calf that was a trefa. So in other words, the Jew would not have been able to eat it, and so therefore the shechting of this animal was only for a non-Jew, and again, there's no right and license to do so. V'achazei l'klavim, so the Gemara says, isn't it fit for dogs? Meaning the trefa can't be eaten by a Jew, but it can be eaten by the dogs of a Jew, and shouldn't that be enough to allow the shechting of a trefa on Yantav? And the Gemara is going to continue. The Gemara says, Tanaihi. The Gemara says, that's subject to a machlokas Tanaim. Okay, and then the Gemara is going to quote a brisa. And the brace is long, so we're going to stop over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up right over here. Tomorrow we're going to continue this discussion of the inability to cook for a non-Jew on Yontif, discussing an on Yontif itself. They're very practical. Tomorrow we're going to be discussing the prohibition of inviting non-Jews. I know people are not going to want to hear this. Inviting non-Jews to your table on Yontif. Okay, you're interesting. If you don't know what the Gemara's conclusion is, come back tomorrow. You'll see that as well. And then, God willing, we'll be able to catch up over the course of Yontif.